Welcome to the Queer Spirituality and Tarot Podcast. My name is Flossie Rocks. My pronouns are she, her, sometimes they, them, and thank you so much for joining us. Today I'm interviewing Artemis. We met in Vancouver at one of the local witchy shops, and today we're going to be talking about their spiritual practices and the tarot card that we just created, the Four of Cups, and I'm very excited to share this with you. What? Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm really glad to be here, and it is a beautiful autumn day, and we're in the middle of
Queen Elizabeth Park,
which is in the middle of Vancouver.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being part of the Queer Tarot Project. Which card were you?
Today we were shooting Four of Cups, and thank you so much for having me for this project. I'm really excited to be a part of this amazing creation.
During this project, I have done a lot of unpacking of the word queer, what it means to people. Do you think we put sometimes too much emphasis on semantics?
I'm not sure what exactly it means when you say that. Do you mean...
Semantics is the meaning or definition of words.
Do we put too much meaning on the word queer? Like,
do we... think about, do we overanalyze it too much?
It never occurred to me that we could, or if people do, I never really had a thought about it that way.
The reason I ask, and yes, maybe I can just share this with people listening, is because I've had people come up to me during this project and say, am I queer enough to be part of your tarot deck?
Oh.
And it's really interesting, and maybe you can share to me about the beautiful way you described what queer meant to you. Because I really like that. But I've had people questioning themselves whether they belong.
Yes. Well, in my personal understanding, the word queer, it just means a completely diverse meaning of just so many things you can combine or kind of have them and stand alone. It's kind of like a spectrum of a rainbow where you can just have all of these different colors and they can mash up with one another. There's different hues, there's different types of mixtures, and sometimes it's a mixture of multiple colors in one, you know.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I really like that. I think it's important to realize that people can use words how they want to use words. And if that definition fits for you, then it's perfectly wonderful to use it. And I think that's awesome. How did you come about the connection with the Four of Cups? Your connection with the Four of Cups?
My personal connection? There's definitely a connection to every card that I think we all kind of have, you know, once we learn the magical use of tarot and its symbolism. To me, the Four of Cups has really signified a lot of my past and how I used to perceive things. And it's definitely a card that could be seen negative to a lot of people. And when it's being shown in a spread, you know, people, and you read the definition, people usually kind of almost have a fear of knowing what it's about or what it represents, or kind of maybe even sometimes an awkward feeling of shame or something that, you know, that they might not want to know sometimes. But in my honest opinion, I think the Four of Cups has a great definition of showing how you know, you can utilize the negative aspect and how you can bring a lot of positive from this card. You know, the card symbolizes a person who looks kind of in the trance look, where they not sure what they're thinking about, they're not sure in their emotion, they have crossed arms and they're not really sure of what they're wanting in life, or not, they're not sure if they're really fulfilling their kind of like what they want. And it also represents that people not always open to perceiving what they have and how they can utilize these things. And it shows that sometimes we take things for granted, and especially in our, you know, age and time, a lot, you know, we'll have amazing technology in our hands, and it's so crazy that we can take things and not be aware that we have so much.
And that's amazing. And I think as maybe people who come to this country can even take that and learn from it. And if people like have lived in a country of plenty all their lives, you can be unaware of these things.
Exactly. I think you're 100% right about that. And it's always really interesting when people from different parts of the world come to where you are in the moment and tell you certain things and their perception of things, and it makes you realize sometimes how we lucky we are, but we don't even know it until someone tells us or we go elsewhere and experience different things with, you know, ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. Spirituality,
mm-hmm.
or however you like to define or not define yourself,
mm-hmm.
where did you first discover that?
Well, I think I discovered it a lot from observing books.
My first
connection to spirituality was definitely through folk tale and fairy tales.
Mm.
That is where I has grasped to so many unique things that almost like sometimes people say don't exist in our reality, which is like so connected to sciences. But you know, once we look into our world, we realize how fascinating, how actually magical it can be. And now in our age and time, we see that science and spirituality are actually really well like intertwined with each other. So my first experiences were through fairy tales and through all of these different characters and these storylines. And how,
like, what kind of fairy tale do you know, like,
yeah,
specific,
like,
one?
Oh god, like my favorite one, it's funny to say because people are like Baba Yaga, but yeah, that's definitely my favorite, you know, the Russian fairy tale of you know, a witch. They would sometimes they call her a hag, but I like to call her a witch of the forest, you know. And they represent her as this like archetype of this older grumpy old lady who lives in this hut that has chicken feet and it's up high, and you know, she lures beautiful virgins and steals their beauty and stuff. But I always when I was a kid, I always sympathized with darker archetypes and entities, and I always thought, well, maybe they were created this way, or maybe something happened in their life, you know, that has caused them to be this certain way.
Yeah.
And so I've really connected with the tale of Baba Yaga, and there's actually quite many different Russian fairy tales that has her as an archetype, you know. And I'm always sad when they're like, when she's like, you know, gone and she's defeated, because I actually think she's quite knowledgeable and she carries a very wise woman energy.
Did you feel like there's ever been a coming out of the closet spiritually? If you have told anybody else?
100%. Yeah. I think that's the way I practice my spirituality is through, you know, like the first times that I learned about craft was about through witchcraft and through, you know, Wicca and paganism. And because Wicca, the way I studied it first, had a lot of feminine born through it, a lot of appreciation for the earth, you know, the goddess, the sacred feminine. And so through that, I realized how much feminine is inside me and how connected I felt with it. Not only I was raised by mostly women in my life, but I also realized that, you know, I have these same energies as women have, and it made me actually question my gender when I was really young. Like, I used to think to myself, oh, I was supposed to be born as a woman. That was like my understanding of self. But growing up in my body, I learned to appreciate what I am and who I am in this lifetime, and it made me realize that it's okay to be feminine and to be a man. You know, it's okay to express both masculine and feminine. And sometimes, you know, we take for granted, not sometimes, actually a lot, we take for granted the feminine in men and feminine in just like in general.
Absolutely. Have you ever had any judgment or anything from people?
Oh, 100%, absolutely. I mean, growing up in Russia, there's such a stigma against femininity that is natural in men's in men's presence and in men's lives. It's so strange when a man wants to grow his hair out. It's seen as so taboo, or when men are seen wearing makeup, and it's just so strange and confusing that we've been brainwashed to hate on femininity and hate on feminine aspects of certain things in life, like makeup, for example. But we forget that makeup was used by you know, like theater people, and it's been used in creative, you know, abilities and arts and stuff. And throughout the centuries, people were amazing costumes like wear that represented both, you know, feminine and masculine. And a lot of in study of costume design, and
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Yeah, exactly. Femininity is everywhere, and we need to learn how to know our past and appreciate it and be aware of it.
That's awesome. Speaking of fairy tales and fairies earlier, we are sitting on the top of a hill, and there's like this little circle of sorts of four trees at the bottom of the hill. And I just was in Ireland, and my heritage is Irish, and I was just like, oh, it's a fairy circle.
That's right. Yeah, it is so beautiful and magical. You're right.
I just wanted to stop and mention that. I think it's great. Have you had crossover? Have you found any crossover between your queerness and any of your spiritual practice?
When you say crossover, like, could you define it more to me? Like, what do you mean by that?
Are they separate? Are they separate? Or is it all just you?
So is my sexuality and my...
Does it influence each other?
Absolutely, yeah, it does. It's definitely not disconnected at all. And I think that my sexuality and, like I said, being raised by a woman and having so much feminine energy inside of myself is, like, helped me to accept myself and helped me to show other people that, hey, look, I'm into... like herbalism and into more feminine, like what is considered feminine, and you know, what I can be shamed for, but I shouldn't be, because these are just my natural interest in these kind of things.
It's really interesting how the world has become so binary.
Yeah.
Like, female must be this, male must be that, when there can be a lot of gender fluidity and
absolutely
breaking out of that.
Exactly.
Male, female, /mask/femme.
And it has existed, right? It's existed always. It's always existed. And it's strange. I always question myself, like, how many generations did we go back in that kind of, like, conservative point of view of things? How, like you said, it's very, like, kind of like, this is man and this is woman and this is what they're supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like, was it religion that did it? Was it certain aspects of like our ancestors' lifestyles or was it? I don't even know, because you look at so many other continents and their cultures, and they do have masculine and feminine that's kind of appreciated, you know?
And blurred as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard not to point a finger at religion. Next question is, what would your 50-year-old self tell you?
It's funny. That's funny, because I just turned 25 a month ago. So, yeah, that's a half of my age right now,
yeah,
that I am. I mean, half of what I would be.
Correct.
So, what I would tell myself, I guess my, if I'm 50, you see, like, there's all of these expectations that we put onto ourselves, you know, not only like the society and family and culture and certain like expectations are put onto us. We also put these heavy loads of like, be a certain way, be more positive, be more friendly, and all of these things. What I would tell myself what I would tell myself as a 50-year-old right now, I would probably tell to be as free of these shackles that you've put in on yourself, you know, and just allow yourself to live your life freely and don't accuse yourself of missteps and learn from your mistakes and be aware of what your body and what your like mental state like is wanting from you and trying to tell you, because often enough we seem to separate our mental like kind of like ideas and thoughts and stuff from our bodies. But you know, I'm guilty of kind of like harming myself in many ways in the past, and that's what I would tell myself, I guess, as an older self, not to do that and to appreciate your body, because you know, you are a temple, you are that archetype of these deities that we, you know, look up to, and these archetypes that we, you know, learn in fairy tales and folk tales, and you know, we are the heroes that we can be ourselves, but we have to let go of just letting, like, just biting ourselves down to the core.
Yep. I think that would be an amazing thing, and you know, I've had a full-on couple of months, so talking about that, what do you do for self-care? And do you have any practices that you would feel comfortable sharing?
Gosh, yes. Yeah, there's so many. I mean, spiritually thinking, like, if you think about it, my favorite thing would be to actually, like, take baths.
Yeah.
I think, and that was a favorite thing for like very long time, you know. Since I was a kid, I loved water, and water is so cleansing, and just to be in a bath, it felt like I was in my element, you know.
Yeah.
And often enough, I felt as a kid that I was in a womb, like I was like in a, it was a sacred space for just, you know, myself, you know, and it felt like I was being cleansed.
And you know what? There is such a big connection with being in a bath to being in the womb, because
and giving birth.
You know, like
you're
in a water sack, basically.
Yeah.
I love that, and I love water as well. But I'm always looking to be in the lake or the ocean. So, total water baby. What has been the hardest part about following your soul or your path, or if you want to call it your spiritual direction?
Definitely the realms of materialism, and that's what the Four of Cups is representing, is not being aware of what you have and how to utilize it perfectly. Instead, we choose to get more things and more and more and more, just to kind of like fulfill our need, but it's only an illusion, and that's kind of like what Four Cups is, right? It's that daydreaming state, the illusion state, the kind of like thinking that you need something more, just another this and another that, you know, and that's kind of like what I'm learning now is to have and appreciate what I currently have and how to utilize it to my 100%.
That's really beautiful. Where do you go to find support or community? Like, where do you find that in your life?
Friends, absolutely friends. 100%. You know, when I first moved to Vancouver, I did go to, a youth queer community center for meetups every week. And it was really interesting for me. It was an interesting experience, but for some reason, unfortunately, I didn't feel like I belonged there. And eventually, I was actually kicked out from that community because I was so different. And I think because I had so many scars and so many kind of like different ideas, I was trying to come out of my shell because it was really hard to come out of that shell when you're in Russia. And so being in Canada, where everyone's welcome to be themselves, the need was so powerful that it was almost like too much. And people were like, whoa, this guy's too much. Like, he is to this and to that. And so being a little bit kind of like stubborn too, it doesn't help because
giant Leo over here.
Yeah, so people think, you know, people are like, oh, this guy has too strong of an opinion, like he can't exist in the same community as us because, you know, it offends us or it doesn't like makes us feel good, you know. And people didn't want to educate me, they just kind of wanted like to feel safe, and I don't blame them for it. And so leaving that and just finding so many amazing individuals, sometimes groups, sometimes people just by themselves, and all of these people, no matter what their gender, you know, race, color, like what their background was, these individuals accepted me as who I was, who was my natural self. And with them, we were able to grow and talk about, you know, personal things and, you know, things about the world and everything. And so I think it helped me a lot. Friends is definitely who, like, I'm so blessed to have, you know, all of these unique individuals all over the world and Canada especially.
And many of your friends witchy, or?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of people who we would call like awoke or something, but a lot of, you know, a lot of people who question things, you know, who aren't just putting themselves in the box. You know, like we were talking about the word queer, you know, like they don't just necessarily like go like, this is how it is and this is how it's supposed to be. But I definitely get along with people the most who are like that, who ready to question things and to ready, like, you know, like doubt themselves and like hear other people. And maybe, and I think that's kind of comes from being rejected in the past so many times from so many different places, that you kind of start to question and be like, well, what was it wrong that I've done? What was it wrong that they did? And you kind of become aware of everyone's opinion, you know?
Would there be any resources or things that you could direct somebody to if they were waking up to their spiritual selves and wanted some support or wanted to go learn some stuff? Where would you direct them?
Library. Go to a library, grab some books. And
what kind of books?
Whatever you feel connected to. Trust your gut, because that's what I did as a kid. I really liked mythology, folk tales, fairy tales and all that stuff, and it was all up to me. And at library I felt free. It was amazing. it was like Christmas, but times like million, you know. You go to a place and you look at that and you're like, oh, what's this cover of a book? Oh, what is this a book about? Oh, this author looks pretty, like, who, what is he all about, you know? And that's how I kind of started to just merge myself into so many different subjects. And then in the end of the day, you find out that, you know, Edgar Allan Poe had his own kind of like opinion of spirituality and his own like universe is built into his thought, you know. And that's how you grow spiritually and as a person, through fiction and through nonfiction, through even reading biographies and through reading, like, you know, like books on witchcraft, you know. And you know, it always helps when you have friends, you know, that are interested in the same subjects as you, but you know, it's not as limited just to that, and that's why I say books.
Yeah.
You know, because books are just this written knowledge and insight and fascinating, interesting points of view that you could, you know, either be like, I don't agree with that, but this is cool as well, you know, or you're like, wow, this is so relatable, and this is like definitely something I believe to the core, you know.
Yeah.
So definitely libraries, and definitely nature too, because spirituality, like if you think about it, most of spirituality is connected, you know, to either, you know, cosmos or ourselves, you know, our inner like microcosms, or you know what's around us, like plants and flowers and scents and, you know, all of these senses, touch, feel, like vision, you know, all of these things.
So beautiful.
Yeah, through small things, I think that we learn and grow spiritually ourselves.
Wow, this is awesome. Well, thank you so much. To wrap it up, is there any last thing that you might want to share or leave the listeners of this podcast with?
Oh, yeah, well... I think that if you're listening to this, I just wanted to thank you for listening to my rambling. And I hope it's interesting to you, and I hope you find what you're looking for in life, and don't be afraid to question things and see things with your own perception. Don't be stubborn, you know. You know, because, you know, through diversity of thought and even just putting yourself in other people's shoes, you will grow much more and faster. You know, having a stability is also important, for sure. But you know, like we're made to make mistakes, and we're made to make missteps in life, and I think that's kind of like we learn from failure, which is amazing. And so,
and we should celebrate that more.
Yeah, exactly.
Failure is awesome, because you learn something.
100%. And you know, like I was talking to my, how I would talk from my older self to my younger self, is the same message. Just, you know, be yourself, and don't get bitter. You know, because the bitter you get, the more life seems lifeless. Just enjoy it, and look around you, because, you know, if you read one page one time, it might seem like it says one thing, but if you read it two or three more times, or if you go back to it a few years later, you'll be amazed, because it'll say something completely different and something so unique, and that's how life is. Don't take it for granted, and enjoy it, and just be yourself. You know, we're all individually beautifully created beings. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find out more about the Queer Tarot Project on www.queertarot.cards, or follow along on Instagram at create_magic, spelt M-A-G-I-C-K. If you would like to be photographed for a tarot card, please get in contact. Thank you so much. Be fabulous, be yourself, and practice magic however you want.